Good morning. Good to be here with y'all. I heard it was deer season right now. Okay. Small tangent, but it's meaningful. I'm sure some of you are here this morning out of love for God, and it's especially seen because you could be other places. And so that kind of sacrifice and dedication means a lot. For those of you who are here with itchy trigger fingers, dreaming of other things, you're doing the right thing in this moment. And I can identify. I don't hunt deer anymore. I used to be a pretty avid deer hunter. I say avid, not good. I wasn't good. I was horrible. I would always, my main memory of deer hunting was waking up in the trees. And this was before they had the strap-in things. And it was very dangerous. It was always like, am I going to die or is an animal going to die every time I'd go out? I was always waking up. So it's probably good that I don't hunt anymore. But, if you are going to be doing that this afternoon, good luck. Stay awake. And, why don't we pray and then we will read our Bibles today. Dear God, thank you for today and for the sun and for the goodness and for everything you've given us. You are so very good. I pray, God, that as we open your word, that you would speak to us as we read. And you would guide our hearts and our minds to you, to know and to love you more. Make us know how much we want that and how much we need to want that, and make us want that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I had a visual aid today, and I left it in the back room. And I know that's probably heartbreaking to everybody who have been wanting me to have more visual aids. Because, you know, preachers are supposed to have dog and pony shows, and I've seen fancy sets behind them. You know, things to make us see stuff, whatever we're talking about. And I don't even have a whiteboard. So my visual aid wasn't that big of a deal. It was an I voted today sticker. It would be on my shirt, but I need to keep it in its paper so I can put it on tonight when I use it as a visual aid downtown. Just trust me. I did vote on Tuesday, and the sticker is back in that room. So if you want confirmation later, imagine that could be the visual aid. So as I was voting, I started thinking about how much hope and expectations we put on getting the right politicians in. And when I say right, I mean whatever the correct ones for you are. And if you've been waiting breathlessly for me to finally bring politics into the pulpit, today's the day. How much hope we put on getting the right politicians in power, and it's going to be good when these guys get in, or these ladies, or these people, they get in. My life and the economy and the country, and it'll finally be on a better or right path. If the right ones would only get power then life will be better. And I think that stems from a feeling that we have that life could be not perfect, obviously, but pretty perfect. If the right thing would happen, if the right politicians would get in. So every couple of years, it's like, maybe this time. Or if luck strikes me, if my lucky day comes around and I have the right combination of luck, life will be better. Life will be the way it should be. It'll finally be pretty perfect. Or if I work hard enough, right? If I work hard enough and study hard enough and do the right things, then life will be the way it should. We want life to be good and fair and perfect. But the problem is, no matter who gets elected, no matter how much we work and we should do all those things. We should vote and we should work hard. And life will never be perfect. It won't be the way it should. That's Genesis 3, right? When God's creation rebelled against him and the world became broken and in a state of broken rebellion, my life, this nation, our country, it will never be the way it should. We should try to make it the way it should, but it will never be the way it should because we live in a broken world and politicians can't correct that. You know why? Because they're broken people like you and I. They're rebellious people. Even when the right ones get in, they're broken people. And so a lot of the same things continue and the same problems continue. And so we live with kind of some frustrated hope just continually
No matter how hard I work, no matter what I do, no matter how good of a person I am, no matter how much I vote for the right people, life never is perfect. It's frustration. It's hope that we carry with us that is never fulfilled. And there is hope, though. There is hope. Look at the book of Psalms. Look at Psalms. We're going to jump around a bit today. Look at Psalms 93. Look at a couple of Psalms. Psalms 93. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. It will never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. And flip over to Psalm 97. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries all around. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. There is a good ruler. There is a perfect ruler. It's the Lord God. It's King Jesus. There is one who is a true sovereign king, the one who made all things, the one for whom all things exist. He reigns. He's on his throne. That's where our hope comes from, because he reigns. He reigns sovereignly. And no matter who gets elected, see, I was thinking about this after I voted. And so I started thinking, it's like, it doesn't matter. It does matter. I know it matters. It matters like on this level. But on this level, it doesn't matter, because no matter who gets elected, the King Jesus is still ruling. He's reigning supreme. He is sovereign over all. He continues to even put leaders in their place. He is sovereign over all. He is the ruler over all things. And our hope is not that life becomes the way we think it should be, and that if I work hard enough and the right people get elected and the right decisions are made and my family goes the way I think it should, and then life will be perfect. That's not my hope. That's not our hope. Our hope is that he has a kingdom and he's on his throne and he's the king. That's our hope. That our hope is in the kingdom of King Jesus that is perfect and that is eternal and that we can be part of for forever. And he invites us in this life to participate, to be part of his kingdom. That's incredible. That is an incredible, right? God invites his children to be part of this incredible reality and of this perfect world that is his kingdom. And the big idea today, and we're going to see it in all the passages we look at, is this. We can be part of the eternal kingdom of God. We can be part of the eternal kingdom of God. That's one of the big stories. So there isn't one story we're going to look at today. That's the idea that we could be part of God's eternal kingdom is part of all of the stories that we've been looking at. It's one of the big stories that flows through all of them. It's part of all of it. That's what God's been doing from the beginning. That's why in Eden, that's why God created the earth. He was establishing his rule and reign over this planet. He was establishing his rule and reign over this small part of the whole universe that he created. And for a very brief instant, the creation was in perfect harmony with the creator. They were part of his kingdom. They were living under his rule and reign. But then they rebelled. They rebelled against God. They rebelled against their sovereign creator. And that's the theme that we see through all the stories, is there's God establishing a relationship, and then people in that relationship, his creation, rebelling against him, like Adam and Eve did. That's a story in Genesis 3. And as they rebel against him, his reign over them is broken. He's still the king. He's still reigning, but they're not in submission to King Jesus, to the Lord and the King of the entire universe. Establishing his kingdom, letting people be part of his kingdom and be part of his eternal kingdom. That's what God was doing when he established his people Israel. When he called, look at Genesis chapter 12. When he talked to Abraham, and he initially said, okay, through you, there's going to come a nation. And they're going to be people. They're going to be my people. And they're going to be in a relationship with me. He was calling people to be part of his eternal kingdom. Look at Genesis 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. In you all the families of the earth will be blessed. They were going to be able to be part of the great eternal kingdom of God. Abraham and his family and all of his descendants, they were going to be a people who would have communion with God. That would be living in harmony with their king, with the creator, with the sovereign king of all the universe. So what does God do? All the stories we've seen up until now, he establishes them. He grows Abraham's family, and then he rescues them from slavery, and then he takes them to the promised land, and then he establishes them in the promised land, and then he rules over them through priests and through judges. And then the part that we've been reading with the kings, you notice something that's been happening with King David and King Saul, and especially King Solomon, and then it kind of trickles off after that. What have they been doing? They've been establishing the kingdom. They've been establishing the border and growing it and making it a strong kingdom. And then God blesses his people abundantly as they live in this relationship with him. They were to be a light to the nations, the word says. A light to the nations. They were to be a living model of what it looked like for God's creation to be living in harmony with his creation. They were to show the world around them and call the world around them to live in harmony with God. That's why he blessed them. That's why they were to be obedient to them. But then, just like Adam and Eve, what do God's people continually do throughout all the stories of the Old Testament? They rebel against him. Whether it's the calves in the desert, the golden calf in the desert, or whether it's when they're about to cross the Jordan River and they throw a fit and want to go back to Egypt, or whether it's when they're in the land and then every time a generation dies off and they forget about God and they turn to the other fake gods, the idols of the nations around them, or later on as King Saul rebels, and then as David and David's children rebel against God and the kingdom is fractured, and everything we've seen, it's been a cycle of living in harmony with God for a minute and then rebelling against him, rebelling against the creation, rebelling against the sovereign creator, and not experiencing, and this is important, not experiencing the reality of what it's like to live in harmony with their creator, with God, the one who made them, as part of his eternal kingdom. But God invites us to be part of his kingdom, and so that's why he sends Jesus. He sends Jesus to reestablish his kingdom, to announce and establish the kingdom of God. That's look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That was Jesus's message. God's kingdom is here. It's coming. I'm bringing in the kingdom of God. I'm announcing that it's coming, and you can be part of it. That's the repent part. Look at verse 23. And he went, the same chapter, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The idea is that Jesus came so that we could be part of the eternal kingdom of God. The same relationship that God had with Adam and Eve at the beginning, the same relationship that he established with Abraham, the same relationship that he continued to establish with his people after they would rebel against him, and then they would turn from the rebellion and return to him. Jesus came to establish that, the true kingdom of God. If the kingdom of Israel was a light to the nations and a symbol of what it looked like to be in a relationship with the king of the universe, Jesus came to establish the true kingdom, the reality that was behind that symbol. And see, the people around Jesus, this is way ahead of where we are in the story, so this is just looking ahead just for a minute. But the people who were around Jesus when he came, and if you remember reading the Gospels, They were thinking, when the Messiah comes, when the rescuer comes, when the one comes who will restore all things, what's he going to restore? He's going to be like one of the judges or one of the prophets or one of the kings who restores God's people Israel, who restores God's, this representation of what God's kingdom on earth looks like. He's going to restore that. Why did they think that? Because that's what they had known. That's what they knew, is this is what it looks like to be in a relationship with God. So when God sends someone to restore us to him and invite us to be part of his kingdom, he's going to restore that. But Jesus came to restore something so much bigger. He came to restore what was broken in creation, not what was just what was given to Abraham, one nation under God. He came to restore all people who would be in him to the Father. And so that's why he went to the cross. He went to the cross to reconcile rebellious creation with their Creator. That's why he rose from the grave, so that people in him will have the true hope of rising from their grave and actually being able to be part of God's eternal kingdom forever. And that's why he will return to establish once and for all the eternal kingdom of his Father in this tiny little slice of the entire universe that God created. Look at Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I saw a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who is seated on the throne, that's the king, said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that is burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." The kingdom of God will be completely established when Christ returns, and God's people will dwell forever with him. That's what our hope is. And we're invited to be part of that, to be part of that kingdom, to be part of the eternal kingdom of God. And not to diminish what a privilege it is to vote. You know, whenever the Tuesday comes around and it's time to vote, and there's talk, and it's true talk of what a great privilege it is to be able to cast a ballot and vote and be a self-governed country. That's incredible. Most people in the world don't experience that. That's a huge privilege. So not to diminish that, but how much greater is it that God would invite you and I to be part of his eternal kingdom? That is an incredible privilege. And that is what he offers to us. That was Jesus' invitation. Flip back to Mark chapter 1. I missed my Bible with the little tabs. My main Bible has tabs in it. But after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, believe the gospel." Or Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The message of the gospel is that we can be part of the kingdom of God. God's Spirit can live in us. We can be part of who God is. We can be part of his family. We can be part of his kingdom when we turn to him. We can be part of the eternal kingdom of God. Us, think about that. Rebellious people like Adam and Eve, like all of the Israelites through all of their iterations of rebellion, people who have rebelled against God like you and I can be part of his eternal kingdom. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Verse 20, 21. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Two things in that. One, we can be citizens. You can be a citizen of God's eternal kingdom. How incredible is that? You could be a son or a daughter of God, and you could be a citizen of his kingdom. No matter what your passport says, a citizen of that kingdom trumps it all. That's incredible. A citizen of the kingdom of God. That's an incredible, enormous privilege. And the second part, look at the last verse. He will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Say, what is that talking about? Okay, here's homework. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Look at what the experience John has. You could say, this is my paraphrase, Jesus' best friend on earth, right? When he sees Jesus, who he knew, he was his best friend, who he knew, when he sees Jesus and Jesus' appearance with his glorified body, and this says, Jesus will return and he will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. Not only are we citizens of the kingdom of God, but we have an eternal hope because we're citizens of his eternal kingdom. He will transform our bodies. We will be with him forever. That is so much bigger than any hope that comes from thinking, if my people get in this election term, then things will be right. This is a living hope. This is a better hope. This is better than my personal economy or my life getting better. As good as that would be, this is incredible. Glorified sons and daughters of God forever. That is our hope. No matter who wins elections this year or in 2 years or in, doesn't matter. It does. Down here, up here, doesn't matter. No matter how good or bad our lives are, that's important, but not really that important. What's important is that we can be citizens of the kingdom of God. So what should we do? We should enter into his kingdom, shouldn't we? If you're not a Christian, this is what the gospel message is that you can be part of God's eternal kingdom. You can be part of the kingdom of the King of the universe. He rules and reigns over all, and you can be part of his kingdom. Not just his kingdom, you can be part of his family. You can be his son, you can be his daughter. So if you're not a Christian and you're hearing this, and if this resonates with you right now or sometime in the future and it lights up your heart and you say, I want that. I want to be a citizen of that kingdom. I want that living hope. I want that. Then tell someone. If it's in this moment, tell one of us. You can repent and be baptized. And if it's not in this moment, if you're laying in bed late at night and you say, hey, I want that. This place can be opened in the middle of the night. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn, right? A phone call can be made in that moment. You and a couple other people or as many people as can get here can come here. You can repent and be baptized. So, if you're not a Christian, enter into the kingdom. Become part of the eternal kingdom of God. If you are a Christian, what's the application for us? I think this is a perspective message, or perspective changing, or perspective reorienting message. Because I don't know about you. I think I can guess, so I won't say I don't know about you. I know about me, though. I really know about me. I get caught up in this world, and who's going to win the election, and what's going to happen over here, and what does this week look like for me, and what does my economy look like, and what does my life look like, and what are my stuff and my things, and it's all here. This is a perspective readjustment. This is probably stuff that if you're a Christian, you probably knew all of this coming in today. Like, eh, I wanted something new. Well, sorry, there's not a lot new. But listen, there's a readjustment, right? There's realignments. This is a readjustment. That's our application for today. It's us getting up every day this week and every day. If we could do that for a week, maybe it would become a habit and it would become like a month and then a year and it would just become part of how we think. But if every day we could get out of bed this morning and say, I'm part of the eternal kingdom of God. I'm part of the eternal kingdom of God. He's my king and he's my father and his spirit lives in me and I'm part of his kingdom. And if we let that just go soak over us in the morning, and then as we go through the day, we think about that. That changes the way we live, right? When bad things happen, but I'm part of the kingdom of God. Good things happen. This is incredible. Best thing that's happened all week. Yeah, but I'm part of the eternal kingdom of God. So that's good, but that's not good. that changes our perspective. We could just remember that this week and think about that, because that's why, that's the thing that will make us love our enemies, do good to those that hate us. That's the thing that will make us forgive people. It's the thing that will make us flee from sexual immorality. It's the thing that will make us not lie to each other. It's the thing that will make us just go down the list from Colossians or Ephesians or Galatians or any of Paul's letters. It's the thing that will make us obey all the stuff that God says, part of the eternal kingdom of God. So I love my enemy. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to be vulgar. I'm part of the eternal kingdom of God. I'm not going to be drunk with wine or high on weed. I'm part of the eternal kingdom of God. So I'm going to live like a beloved child of God. That changes how we live. I'm part of the eternal kingdom of God. So that's why we proclaim the gospel to other people and say, you could be part of the kingdom of God. That's why we open up the Bible and say, would you study with me? Because you could be part of the kingdom of God. That changes everything we do, and it brings life to us serving God. It brings life to getting up and reading this and praying. Why? Because I'm talking to the King of the universe. He hears me, and he's talking to me. That's incredible. So let that be our thing that we just say over and over again this week. I'm part of the eternal kingdom of God. Let's see if that perspective doesn't change how we live throughout the week and bring hope into our lives. So why don't we stand? We'll pray, and then we'll sing to our King together. Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good and you're kind and you're loving, and you invite us to be part of your kingdom. That is so incredible. It's ridiculous. We thank you. Thank you for that. God, I pray that you would help us to remember that reality as we go through the week. Let everything remind us of it as we remember taking communion today and remember your body and your blood. And it's because of that we can be part of your kingdom. And we thank you, we worship you. And we want to worship you for all of eternity. You're good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.